Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello and welcome. This is Sid Garza-Hillman once again for the Approaching the Natural podcast, where each week I bring you musings and sometimes conversations about philosophy of health. I am the small step advocate, and that means that unlike diets and quick fixes that abound, I advocate for a completely opposite approach to health, and also a picture of health that involves much more than food and even movement. So it's a big picture item for me. If you're just joining me, you'll get that pretty quick. But if you're just joining me, you might want to pop back and listen to some of the other podcasts. But of course, themes are revisited, so you can just start here as well. Anyway, I wanted to welcome you. This is the 20th episode. So I think that's kind of cool. 20 episodes, nice even number, about one a week. So that's about 5 months in. The listeners have grown exponentially, which is super, super exciting. So a couple of quick corrections from last week. One is I kept saying I bought a digital video recorder for me on my runs. And I said that like three times. And then when I was listening back, I thought, that's funny because it wasn't a digital video recorder at all, and I was hoping that people were picturing me videotaping myself while I was running, and hopefully you did that and got and thought, well, what an odd fella. It's actually a digital voice recorder, so no video, and I thought, what an exciting video of just me, my head bobbing up and down for 8 miles. No, digital voice recorder. And man, it's one of those things I should have done years ago. Like, it's just great. I'm just on the run, and an idea pops into my head. Record it instead of forgetting it. I probably have invented, you know, multi-million dollar ideas. Of course, forget them by the time I get back. Or probably not. Anyway, before we get rolling, I wanted to just say, if you'd like to follow me, Twitter and Instagram, Sid Garza-Hillman, at Sid Garza-Hillman. Facebook is Transitioning to Health. My private practice is Transitioning to Health. You can find me at transitioningtohealth.net. If you feel like kicking in, not money, because this is free, but throw me a review on iTunes. That would be a very helpful thing, or Stitcher, or wherever you review things. If you like this podcast and it speaks to you in any way, throw me a review that says so. That would be great. Or you know what? Just tell somebody else. That's also a thing that works for me. And for this podcast, this podcast is brought to you by my sponsor, the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. And Joan and Jeff Stanford, who've owned this inn for 34 years, are providing me the tools, equipment, and space otherwise to continue this podcast, which is pretty cool. And they were real supportive during the writing of the book and all that kind of stuff. So they've been there for this whole process. The Stanford Inn is a true eco resort. If you're into that kind of thing, which you should be, because it's friggin' incredible. But they have a whole plant-based restaurant and organic farm and a full wellness center, which is what I am the program's director of. I'm also the staff nutritionist here as well. And so you can find them at stanfordinn.com or the wellness center, which is livingwellmendocino.com. I mentioned a retreat that I did a couple weeks ago. We've got three more coming up this year and three more yoga retreats as well, which I'll be guest speaking at as well. So you can find information on all that at livingwellmendocino.com. Come visit and say hi. More people are coming in going, hey, I read your book and I'm listening to your podcast. And sometimes they don't have a high voice like this, but sometimes they just say, whoa. I don't know where my brain is today. It's in the podcast. And so because of the note-taking via my digital voice recorder, I got some ideas on the paper that I'm going to share with you. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee first. Drip coffee today, guys. Sorry, not hurrying, but I kind of wanted to get going on the podcast because it was all set up and rolling, and so I did not make an espresso. I hope that doesn't ruin anybody's day that you know, I didn't want you to feel disoriented because I didn't have an espresso in my hand during the podcast. It's okay. Take a deep breath. We're gonna get through it. Okay, so what do we got going today? Well, for the 20th episode, I wanted to kind of hone in on really what it is that I try to do with this podcast. And one thing that I was going to just kind of touch upon is that the whole reason I wrote the book, the reason behind this podcast, my private practice, working with people, you know, working with people directly, is I basically essentially what I do is I was thinking about this, probably digital video recorded it. I'm just joking. I teach. Okay, I'm going to have an aside. Anybody email me, by the way, you can always email me podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. I set that email up for the podcast, podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. I've been thinking about doing a free video interactive once a month on this thing called Spreecast, where people could like kick me questions and I could field questions and things like that. If you guys are into that, let me know. I don't know how many of you would pop in. It would have to be more than just my mom, for instance, because she can just call me, right? So if that sounds interesting to anybody, I, you know, love to hear the feedback, or Twitter, tweet that, say yay, yay or nay, or, you know, whoop-de-doo. Anyway, just an idea I had. Okay, well, I didn't have it, but somebody said, you know, you got to do. It's just that way people can kind of interact with you, and that's kind of cool. Okay, so back to my private practice. So one of the things that I do is I help, essentially what I do is I help people take control of their lives. But what does that really mean? Because I wanted to draw a distinction between, and that's what this podcast is designed to do, and that's what the book is designed to do. So I'm not trying to sell you on my thing. It's just this is my approach to health. I try to have it so that you can take control of your life. Now, what does that really mean? Well, one of the things it means to me is, well, I want to just make sure you understand that I'm not trying to take control of your life, and you might laugh. But in a sense, when some people go to get help for their health, for their happiness, they become somewhat controlled. I'll put it that way. They put themselves in a position where they are told what to do. They're told what to think. They're told how to move. They're told, eat these foods at these times, and chant these things 3 times a day, and pray facing, you know, east, whatever, you know, whatever. And I'm not even talking about religion, but just clearly that it delves into that kind of realm too of, you know, just like practice these things and you will get this thing. Do these things and you will get this thing. And in a sense, it's like that's kind of the guru model. Right, we go to the guru and go, can you make me enlightened? And the guru's like, yes, here's what you do. You just hang out with me and cut me $1,000 a month. And it's cynical. Okay, so anyway, with that said, I help people take control of their lives. And essentially what my mission is to try to ease you in a way that brings you to that end on your own. I'm essentially pointing you in the direction, but I'm not filling in the blanks for you. And I want to make sure that you're clear on that. I'm not saying if you do this system, you will be, notice that I'm not, that's why I never talk about vegan or vegetarian. It's like, if you understand food, and by the way, if you sign up on my website, free, this is free, put your email address in, you get a free download of the first chapter of my book. Okay, that's a new thing I put on my site. You just put your email address in there, then I can use your email address to sell Coca-Cola. No, I won't sell it or anything, but you'll get like notifications of specials, and you know, once in a while, I really don't do it that much, but you'll know when the next podcast is out and all that kind of stuff. So it's up to you, but free download of my chapter, please. You kidding me? But it's the chapter on nutrition, which is kind of cool because my way of communicating nutrition is very different, but also very simple. I try to distill my years of reading into like, literally, that's one chapter of my book is nutrition. And this is going to sound crazy. It's all you need to know. It is all you need to know. The idea of nutrition for the human body is very simple. It's just very simple. There's a spectrum of food. I've talked about this before. On one side is stuff that I call light box or empty box, which would be white sugar, white flour, white rice. And on the other side, you've got whole plants. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the middle. And I'm not going to recommend to you that you do this at this time and this much of this and that and that. You've got to find your balance on that spectrum. I'm not even 100% heavy box, but I'm darn close because there's things in my life that I enjoy doing, like running, being with my family, you know, not being sick. I like that, such that I moved and found a place that fits for me. But I still live in the world and I still have family and things that we do, special occasions where I'm not eating as heavy box as I typically do, but I establish what I do most of the time. But that's up to, you know, there's some people who are like all the way on the fruitarian kind of thing, and that's their, I touched upon this before, but that's their world. And that's what they do, and that's who they socialize with. And so for them, there's no conflict. They don't show up somewhere and go, oh man, you know, what am I going to eat? Like they kind of just are in that world. And that's cool for them. That's not for everybody. And it's not about whether what they do is healthier or not. It's the balance that they found in their lives. But essentially what I'm not doing for you is I'm not telling you that you need to do this or that you should do this. I'm saying find out first and foremost, what you want to change in your life. And that's why this podcast is entitled Power to the Thinkers. Because you can follow diets, you can follow yoga plans, you can follow meditation programs, you can do all those things. But if you are not thinking about your life in the way that you want it to be, those things are systems that won't necessarily yield you long-term health and happiness. So what do I mean by that? Well, it's a system in this sense. If I just say, follow this diet, which is what diet books are, let's essentially, you know, let's just, facts are facts. A diet is the thing that you follow. And when you get the book, it has the information in the beginning, which is, can be really good. And then it has the stuff in the end, which is like, okay, here's your shopping list. And here's day one. And here's day two. And here are the recipes for day two. And here's the day three. And here's how many calories for that day. And here's how many. And when you follow that, you're not actually thinking about your health and happiness. You're not applying thought to things like why you overeat in the first place, why you eat light box foods in the first place, why you don't move your body in the first place. It's what's behind the veil that's interesting to me, because once you understand why, then you can take the small steps to change. My execution is very different because I don't think that going all the way there ever works. And in fact, I know it doesn't work because I'm supported by lots of studies that show diets don't work. And that brilliant one I cited last week or the week before, which was that food is addictive. Thanks. Anyhow, so it's the thinking behind it. So in my book, I talk about technology. Well, technology is bad. All the things that we do, but it's not bad. Technology is technology. Whether it's good or bad is, guess what? It's up to how we approach it, how we approach it. There's a balance in everything. Socialization, how you socialize, can be damaging. Socialization can be damaging. If you're going out all the time with your friends and all the time and you're not attending to the things that you need to attend to in your life, you can have an imbalance in that regard. Too much of a good thing. Same thing with technology. It's very easy to all of a sudden kind of go over the hill a little bit on the other side of that, where you're texting all the time, where you're emailing all the time with you. And here's the difference between me and, you know, other practitioners is that I'm not saying, you know, you really should do that. You really should not text your friends so much and you should do that. I'm saying if you, in your life, assess and you go, I'm not as happy as I'd like to be. I'm not as healthy as I'd like to be. And you go, oh, interesting. Not, oh, I'm a crappy person because I know, just get, okay? I'm not as happy and healthy as I'd like to be. Then that's a place where then you can move from into changing the parts of your life that you might think need changing. But as soon as you assess, I'm not as happy and healthy as I'd like to be, that's, guess what that is? That's thinking. That's power to the thinkers. That's not, I need to lose weight, so I'm going to follow this diet. And I'm not thinking about it, because if you did think about it, you would know that, you know, it's not even a natural thing to do. I mean, if you really think about a diet, let's think about it. I mean, if you apply thought to the idea of a diet, does it sound smart? I mean, does it sound appropriate for our species to work out of a book and follow someone else's plan for 12 weeks? I mean, you might be sold and convinced that this is going to affect you long term. Okay, well then, if you think it's going to affect you long term, then I guess you've thought about it. And in that sense, I guess you could be a good choice. But how many times do you have to do that before you realize? Now, what's weird is that I've done these diets over and over again, and I've never sustained any benefit that I got from those diets ever. And so why is that? And then think about it and think, maybe because this model isn't serving me in the way that I had hoped it would serve me. And when you apply thought to that, you have a better chance of saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. And not so much of a chance of saying, you know, maybe that's an other diet. Maybe this is the one that's going to solve this problem. I mean, we get stubborn and we want it so bad. What do we want? We want the flat stomach and we want the this and that. But again, I go behind the veil even further behind that and say, what is it that we really want, which is that we want to be happy. And if you establish that you want to be happy and that the things that you think equate with happiness, a flat stomach and, you know, whatever, a better body or better skin or whatever it is for you, it's all fine. But you have to move your life forward in a real way. You have to acknowledge that, you know, the things that you really want. Power to the thinkers. Thinking is a position of real strength. It is a position of real strength, like real strength. Stubbornness is not strong. Stubbornness is weak. Stubbornness is just digging your heels in. But I touched upon this in, you know, ad nauseum in the Independence Day episode, because it's a position of strength. What's funny is that it's kind of come up, like I did Rituals podcast, you know, last February. And this one dude, you know, commented on, he goes, oh my gosh, Garza Hillman, men taking their wives' names. Now I've seen it all, you know, as if it was like this weak kind of thing. Well, for me, just so you all understand where the Garza, my wife's last name is Garza. My last name was Hillman. That's why in my band, my music is still Sid Hillman Quartet, because that was existed before I got married. But when we got married, I thought about it and I was like, I don't even understand what the whole taking the guy, it just didn't work for me. There's no judgment. It just didn't work for me. I'm like, why would you take my name? We're in this together. And so we figured out a way to make that happen that satisfied both of us. And that was to join our names. But I don't know how many times over the years people are like, Garza Hillman, who wears the pants in the family? And it's like, interesting, like the underlying sort of undercurrent of I'm some sort of weakling because I acted on principle and on thought. And if that's the purveying, if that's like the pervasive value base in our culture, what does that say about us? That using your mind, that determining what it is that you want, that what's going to make you happy, really applying thought to that, such that when you do, you may not do what everybody else does because you're thinking independently, because you're applying your thought to your life. And what does it say about our culture that when you act on that, you're somehow weak, when that's the strongest position you can take? The strongest position you can take is one of independence, is one of thought, is coming to your life from a place of thinking. And that's why when I help people take control of their lives, I'm helping them think for themselves. I don't hand my client something and go, here's what's stressing you out. Here's the problem with you. I go, what are you eating today? Oh, I overate this. Why did you overeat? I don't even care what they overate. Why did you overeat? Well, I was in a bad mood. Why were you in a bad mood? Well, I was really stressed. Why were you stressed? Well, because my job sucks. Why does your job suck? Well, because I hate my coworkers, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, do you like your job? You know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I don't really like it. Okay, well, let's take small steps. Could you take control of your life? Could you start, you know, I talked about this in the other podcast, but can you start investigating other things you might want to do with your life? When you apply thought, you're liberated. You can do literally whatever. You can just start the process of whatever you want. And that is the beauty of small steps, by the way. Because if you decide you want to lose weight, you can start today. You don't have to buy a diet book. You can download my free chapter. There's your nutrition. And you can start by eating one stalk of celery, which I always talk about. One stalk of celery. That's action. And when there's action, there's liberation. Action is liberation. When you can act, when you feel like you can't do anything about it, that's restrictive. Well, I should eat better. You can eat better. You don't have to change your whole life right now. You can change your life in just a teeny, teeny, teeny little bit. And when you do that, the ball gets rolling. And that's power. And that's strength, is acting. No matter how inconsequential that looks to you, you will see. There's a leap of faith. But I'm not telling you what to do, how much to do. I'm saying I help you, I shepherd you through the process of your own. Well, what am I ready to take on? How much am I ready to take on? When you take on something and it's too much, I help you back off to find your own balance and help you and talk through the process of what that's like, how it's not failure, it's assessment. When you take on a step and it turns out to be too big of a step for you and you have to back off a little bit so that you can still do something every day, so you can still act every day, there's no failure there. It's assessment. And guess what assessment is? Thinking. It's a place of strength. And when you, what's interesting for me, just this isn't really an aside, but it's just interesting to me, is that the reason why I come at my practice and this podcast and my book from a place of what's most natural to us, and this is, I guess I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I want to kind of get into this a little bit, but when I come at it from the premise of the closer we get to what is natural for us, the happier and healthier we will be, okay? And the reason why I come at it as what is natural is because I believe and strongly argue that health and balance is a natural state of the human being. It is a natural state of the human being. And that goes for mental balance and physical balance. That we are not designed to carry extra weight on our bodies. That's why it's stressful. We're also not designed to carry too little weight on our bodies. Two sides of the same coin. We're not designed to be stressed out all the time. Chronic stress. Okay? We are designed to be in balance. That's how other wild animals, that's what they do until, of course, we step in and mess up their environment and everything else that humans do. But the natural state of the human being is health and happiness. That's what I argue. And the beauty of understanding that, or taking that on, just take it on. You don't have to believe it, but try to see what your life would look like if you came at it from that direction, just as a test. The beauty of that is when it comes from a place of true health, when your actions come from a place of true health and happiness, I always put the two. So if you hear me say health, it's health and happiness. Same thing. Because again, you can be physically healthy, but not happy because you're not in relationship to your life. You're not in balance. And that's why I'm a health coach. I'm a certified nutritionist, but nutrition is one part, one equal part of everything else that I deal with. Okay. But when you come at it from a place of health and happiness, you don't really have to be like pedantic, or you don't have to be, you can just be. I mean, when you achieve a place of balance, you don't have to convince anybody because you're just in that place. And this kind of speaks back to my example, living the example, be the ball episode. But when you're not following someone else's system, when you achieve your own balance, then you don't even need to convince anybody. I mean, you don't need to do what I do, or I'm better than you, or this is that. You're kind of in this place of what true strength is. I mean, that's what true strength is. True strength isn't anger. It's not stubbornness. It's confidence. It's inside, and it is like a foundation kind of thing. It's like that thing. And so what I help people do, and I'm hoping that this podcast is helping people do, is because it's thought based, because it's thinking based, it gets people to a place where they have, along with their trek to health and happiness, they have increased self-esteem. They have increased self-confidence and therefore increased strength. Strength to continue doing the things that they want to do. And this is why I'll say that you follow the idea of small steps in however that is for you. But if you embrace the idea of small steps and go, okay, let me try this on, small steps of action, that it can change your relationships that you have in your life. If you have, you know, trouble in your relationships, you know, I can't find a, you know, I've always had troubles with boyfriends and girlfriends and et cetera, et cetera. Well, I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go turn around to you and go, what can you do? What can you do about it? What can you do about it? It's a place of true strength. When you understand that you can always act, then you're in a place of strength. You're never the victim. You're never in the situation of, I don't know what to do. I just, my got people I date, they're just horrible. Men are horrible. I hate women. It's okay. Well, what about you? What is it about you? What is it about you? Are you as happy and healthy as you want to be? Because if you're not, then start acting that way. Start acting to that direction. Start taking little steps. Start understanding the strength you have to change all aspects of your life. That's why your job can change. That's why I help people take control of their lives. I don't say, okay, you need to follow my outline here about learning how to fill out an application and figuring out your resume. I'm not a resume coach. But the reason why I say I help people take control of their lives is because it all starts with you. When you're in a place of strength, when you're in a place of thinking, then that affects the rest of your life, all the other things in your life. But that's why, as a health coach, I can actually affect change, help you affect change in your job, but not directly. I'm not a marriage counselor. I can help you become more successful in your marriage, but not as a marriage counselor. I can help you become more successful in your marriage by helping you figure out a way to get yourself into balance. And that is going to affect your marriage. I mean, one of the things that I do with my clients is we do the daily check-in thing, but I also text them throughout the day and I just text breathe. Just go breathe. Because what I find is that during the day, no matter how great your plan is at the beginning of the day, you're like, okay, today I'm going to eat this way. And by the way, this is me too, right? I'm like, okay, today I'm going to do this. No matter how, you know, in line with that plan is, you know, the day takes over, your life takes over, your job and your family. And the next thing you know, you're eating something you don't want to eat. And again, am I going to say what you ate is bad? It's only bad if you didn't want to eat it. And this is why, you know, it's not about a system, because on a system, I would say never eat corn chips. Well, what if most of the time you eat extremely well and corn chips is a treat that you really enjoy and you don't do it that much and you're totally in balance and you're as happy and healthy as you want to be? Why would I give a crap if you have corn chips or not? But if you're following my system, which I don't have one, but let's pretend that Sid has a system. By the way, has anybody started writing the book, The Yo-Yo Diet? I'm not kidding. Every episode that I do where nobody has written that, my percentage of ownership goes up in that thing. Now it's 10%. If you write the book, you're going to give me 10. It's a brilliant idea, The Yo-Yo Diet. In case anybody didn't listen to the last episode, listen to it. It's a great concept for a book. It's called The Yo-Yo Diet. Where was I? I text the breathe because it gets people out just for a moment. Everybody has time during the day. I don't care how busy you are to take 5 seconds or 10 seconds to take a deep breath and kind of just recalibrate, reset your clock. And the more people get used to resetting their clock throughout the day, and by the way, they can. This is the beauty of the small step. This is why I'm the small step advocate. You want to know why? Because you don't have to change your life upside down. You don't have to turn your life upside down. You don't have to quit your job and go to a retreat for a 7-day cleanse. You don't have to miss social engagements with your friends and family during this 7-day, 21-day cleanse or 7 days. I can't do that. I'm on a cleanse. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to break up with your significant other. You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to do anything. You can start acting and infuse these changes into a life that you have already existing. And you can make this change over time. And you can make it in a way that is not stressful to you at all. Because if it is stressful to you, you know that you can back off a little bit and find a new balance. Because essentially, along the way, you're finding better balance. If you take on too much, that's imbalance. If you take on too little, you'll go, I can do more than this. I can do more than 30 seconds on a trampoline, but I didn't think I could. So I've been doing 30 seconds on a trampoline for a week, and it's awesome because I'm actually doing stuff. And I wake up in the morning going, first thing in my head was what I did yesterday. I moved my body more than I ever used to. 30 seconds on a trampoline. So now I can take on a minute or 2 minutes, no problem. And you test that out. Oh, 2 minutes is a lot. I forgot to do that 2 days in a row. I'll back off to 1 minute, whatever that is. It's test. You're testing the waters, man. It's cool. There's no, oh, I couldn't do a 30 seconds and I have to. You know when you start out with this process that you're not following a plan. If you had a plan that said 5 minutes a day and you weren't making that, yeah, you're failing in relationship to that plan.
Sure.
If you don't follow, you know, pretend Sid's diet and you don't make the day, day 14, exactly how I laid it out on that best-selling book that I didn't write, then you would fail. Day 14 would be a failure. Sure. But with my approach, you cannot fail. You cannot fail because it's a process. When you're ready to take on more, you'll take on more because you learn by listening to this podcast. I got an email today from this nice, totally nice woman in Oregon, and she's like, I listen to your podcast and it's helping me. It's great. I love that. That's what you don't need to hire me unless you want to. This podcast, come back to this podcast every day. If this gets you, this is the piano lesson you have every week that gets you to practice every day, do it. It's free. You can't afford not to. And like I've said, maybe listening to this podcast is all you can do right now. What are you doing? What does it get you to do? It gets you to start thinking. That's all. Once you start thinking, then that's a place that you can build from. But that's the place you can build from. Okay? If I just go, follow this plan. I'm a nutritionist. Here you go. Measure it out. I've weighed it out and measured it out. It's 1,974 calories per day. It's, you know, 20 grams of fat, and it's this many grams of carbohydrate and protein. You know, you need a lot of protein, which you don't, but you need a lot of protein. That's 14 grams of protein. And also you should take calcium supplements and 2,000 milligrams and then 2,500 IU of vitamin D. You should buy a B complex vitamin pill also. And you should be taking, you know, XYZ. I mean, my God, right? Oh, by the way, I sell all those pills. Here you go. Can you cut me a check for $1,000? Oh, and I need to see you in a week. You know, I mean, that's the model people get sucked into. It's like, it's expensive. Oh, and if I'm a health coach, you should go to a gym and you know, join up for $100 a month. Well, that's $1,200 a year. Here you go. Do that. Well, okay, yeah, all right, I'll do that. And then 2 weeks later, you've stopped going to the gym and you're sinking $100 a month in a gym membership that you don't need. I mean, the thing is, like, in my book, I advocate for, you know, I don't advocate for, but I tell the story about how when my twins were born, I got a trampoline. And because we were exhausted and because we had twins and we both worked full time, the trampoline just turned out to be like the godsend of exercise equipment. Like, we still use it all the time. I've had it for 4 years. Like, what lasts 4 years? It's in our living room. We put it away when we have people over, but usually we leave it up. And that's because you walk by and you can always jump on a trampoline like you, and it's fun. And it got us to move our bodies. Now, that trampoline was almost $400. It's kind of expensive. And yet, I've had it for 4 years. So you do the math. It's less than $10 a month. I've had it for 4 years. So 4 years later of no gym membership, but it got me to move my body. So that's a great step for me. Now for you, and also, it, you know, I'm in Northern California. There's a lot of time. Is it raining and it's freezing in the morning? And this was just that time of my life. I was totally fit, by the way. And I was doing 15 minutes a day on the trampoline. I'm not joking. That's all I was doing. 15 minutes a day on the trampoline. I was totally fit. Why? Because, like I've said before, it's more about food than it is about movement. Nobody wants to hear that. They want to lose weight, so they go to the gym. And they don't want to touch the food they eat. Fine. But just so you know from this podcast, food plays a bigger role. So maybe you could take steps to the movement side, but also to the diet side. Take little steps because you're stressed out by the idea of changing your diet because you love the food that you love. That's cool. Then maybe that's why another reason why you go small steps. So it's something that sinks in for you and you start seeing the benefit. But a trampoline served that purpose for me. It got me to move my, it was just too hard for me not to do it. Some days I'd be like, oh, 15 minutes. I'll just do 5 minutes. And I'd just get on there. And then, of course, I would do 15 because once you get on there, who can't, you know, it was like no problem. 15 minutes a day. It was like a godsend. Now, the more I got through that and the older the twins got, then I was able to get outside a little bit, you know, once a week, go for a run, like these little things. Well, now, you know, 4.5, almost 5 years later, you know, I just did a marathon last December. I'm training for one now. I'm running 6 days a week, getting up early, you know, doing that whole thing. So it's just progression. Now, running cost me even less than the trampoline, right? I mean, it's shoes and shorts. You know, it's like not that big of a deal. Like, shoes cost me sick. I don't run in fancy shoes because I'm like a barefooter. So I'm either running in my Vibrams, which are $50, $60, and then, or I'm running in my Merrells, which are 60, 70 bucks, but they last for almost a year. So it's like a pittance. I mean, you don't need to spend all this money on, you know, a ton of different foods that you want because you're doing a diet, or you don't need to spend money on all this equipment. You don't have to. Now, with that said, if what gets you to move is the gym membership, is the whatever exercise you, the spin class, or the, you know, Bikram yoga class, or the yoga, whatever, yoga swimming class, or whatever, if that's what you enjoy, and it's something you can continue doing every day for the rest of your life, potentially. I mean, I don't mean militantly every day. I mean, you take a day off now and then, but I mean, it's something that you're not stressed doing, okay? Not something you're stressed doing. If you can continue doing that, then join a gym. I mean, there's no objectivity here. And that's why, again, I don't recommend, I'm not an advocate for a system. I'm not an advocate for, here's what you got to do. You got to go to the gym, and you got to do these machines, and you got to do this thing, and here's your workout program. Because those are the things that fail. Those are the things that people cannot sustain. But if I say, you don't move your body, you came to me because you said you wanted to become happier and healthier. Well, one of the things about happiness and health is moving your body. Why? Because it's natural. Because it's totally unnatural for us to be sitting in a chair all day. And that's what you're doing. You're sitting in a car, then you're sitting in a chair, then you're getting home and sitting in a chair again. And then you're sitting at a dinner table, then you're sitting on a couch. That's unnatural. So what can we do about that? What do you think you can take on? And here I am. When I ask you those questions, what do you have to do? You have to think about it. And I, you know, create a space where you're feeling safe and not like judge. We have a conversation about it. And we go, okay. But from listening to this podcast, you know, take that time. Think about it. What would I like in my life? What would I like in my life? I mean, I got a tweet the other day that was really cute. She's like, I finally feel validated for my dairy-free grounding existence. Like, you know, remember I said, like, you come from a place of health. It's like a place of true strength. This girl, you know, super cute. Like, I don't see a picture of her, just cute. And and she's like, loves taking her shoes off. And dairy made her feel bad, so she stopped doing them. And of course, everybody has to say something about it. You know, I'm sure unsolicited. You know, you're weird for walking barefoot, and of course, you need cow's milk for healthy bones, even though that doesn't equal healthy bones. Other than that, but she stuck to her guns. You know, and she's like, "Oh," and now she hears me, and she's like, "This is cool." Like, she feels validated. But why should somebody have to go through that hassle because they came upon something that feels totally right to them? It sinks in. When you apply an appeal to what is natural to you, it's just there. There's no other way to describe it. It's like you go, mm-hmm, got it. You can't tell me otherwise. You know, like you feel so good. You're just like, I got it. This is it. And you might not even feel as good as you can feel, but you know you're on the right track. And then you don't need me or this podcast. When you know you're on the right track, when you started the small steps enough, where you started to incorporate them, and then you start to see, you'll know pretty fast that you're in the right direction, and then you're just like, you're on your way. Then you've got a foundation of action every day from which you can build. I mean, it's just great. I got another tweet from a woman who just said that she said to her son, let's go walk outside barefoot. And he goes, I'm going to run outside barefoot. How great is that? Right? Kids just like, boom, didn't question the barefoot thing. We're just like, I'm not walking. Who would walk? That's crazy. I love how kids just run everywhere. My daughter, 9-year-old, skips. She played soccer and just skipped. Everybody just like kind of grinned. Like she just wouldn't run after the ball and just would skip toward it. It didn't last. Soccer, not her thing. So it comes down to that. It comes down to appealing to what's natural for you and the balance of that in your life. And that's what you have to think about. If you don't move your, you know, once you sort of know the information, once you want to be happier and healthier, then you can say, well, I understand that I can eat better. You know, that there's things I could do better in terms of my diet. I understand that I can move my body more. I'm sure that would help. I understand that I work too much. I understand that I, you know, don't keep in contact with my family enough, and I really want, like, it's something I want to. And there's no objectivity. It's like enough isn't objective. It's not like enough according to a chart. It's enough in my own life. It's something I notice that I'm lacking. Not because somebody else told me. Not because I even told you, because I never would. I would just say, do you miss being with your family? Or are you with your family maybe a little too much? Are you not paying attention to the other things in your life that need tending to? And because you're spending all this time with your friends every night of the week, you aren't writing the book that you wanted to write, or you're not painting the picture that you wanted to paint. You know, it's amazing to me how many people have an artistic desire that they let go years ago. They were just like, I don't have time for it. Well, one of the things in one chapter in my book is deals with art, because creativity, what? Creativity is natural. It's the way we think. We are creative thinkers. And when you appeal to that, just like we're designed to be natural food eaters, we're designed to move our body. When you get a little closer to that, the better you are. I mean, the better you feel, right? The better you feel, not the better you are, because that's like, you know, the better you feel, the happier you are. I mean, again, if you think, if you use your mind, you probably wouldn't even do diets. You know, when you apply, when you think about things, so this is, I'm going to get to that in a second. The one thing that I wanted to talk about, though, is, and this is coming back to the thinking thing, is when you have that conversation with yourself of, am I as happy and healthy as I want to be? When you have that conversation with yourself, and this comes back to the meditation conversation I had with Jeff Stanford, it's like noticing and paying attention to and really getting deep with yourself. And this is where journaling is a huge thing. You know, you can really be helpful. And again, journaling, small steps, right? Start with a word on a piece of paper. I'm not even joking. Because all the things I talk about is like, people can't meditate for an hour a day. Most people can't, and I wouldn't even advocate for that kind of meditation anyway, but that's neither here nor there. So I'm not going to sit here and go, you know, you need to journal 45 minutes every day. I'm not going to do that. Would journaling help you get to the bottom of certain things? Yes. Do I believe that it's worthwhile getting to a point where you journal in your life? Yes, I do. Would I say start journaling 45 minutes every day? Of course not. I would say, what do you think you could take on? Do you think you can put a piece of paper in your pocket and a pencil and not write on it? Then that's where you're going to start. Can you handle that? Every day, put a piece of paper and a pencil in your pocket because you're going to think about it. Eventually, you might write one word on that piece of paper. Eventually, you might write a sentence on that piece of paper. Eventually, you might get a journal and put it in your bag, but not even write in it. Eventually, you might pull it out and write for 30 seconds. But if you think you have to journal for 45 minutes, you're never going to start the process. Let's face it, you'll never start. Or the alternative is you'll start and not continue. I mean, those are the two options. It's 45 minutes. Ugh. But you can handle a sentence. Most people can, or maybe not. I don't know. I'm not going to put those words in your mouth. Okay? I'm not going to put those words in your mouth. But that's the idea, is that when you are thinking at that level of what you want in your life. So back to this. Okay? So when you have that conversation, and this is where journaling helps, because you want to get deep. You want to go, okay, what is it that I really want? So what I want to share with you is that recently I was thinking about, like, okay, so I'm 45 years old. I just ran a marathon. Happy about that. Kind of fun seeing what I can do, you know, at this age, and my stomach's flat. And I'm thinking, what if my stomach were even like more, like I've got a little six pack kind of peeking through. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. Like I've never had like a, you know, six pack, like, you know, ripped kind of thing. But I've definitely been heavier than this and way more out of shape than this. And this is the best shape I've been in. And I've been in this shape for a while, you know, like years. So it's sticking. But I'm thinking, like, what if I got that six pack, right? I want a six pack, I said to myself. In college, that meant something completely different. It meant Mickey's big mouth. But that's then. That's not now. And so now I'm like, okay, thinking about it. But then it occurred to me, I was like, when I got deeper on that, I started really thinking about what it would take, right? So what it would take, and this is because I know this or whatever, but it would take for me to go in the gym or at home. I use a suspension, TRX suspension trainer, or a jungle gym people use. It's the same thing. And I would use that. I would do more weightlifting. right? I wouldn't run as much because I'm training for marathons. I'm putting in 40 to 50 miles a week, so I wouldn't run as much. I would do more weight, more resistance training. And I would have to do more time at that than really ever. Like even when I use a suspension trainer, I'm like 20, 30 minutes on that thing. But I'd really have to put the time in. I mean, I really have to develop muscularly. I'm not talking sit-ups. I don't know if you know this, but you can't like, it's, you have to lose the fat over the whole body. People are like, I'm going to do sit-ups so that my stomach goes flat. It's like, it's, you don't lose weight in one place and not everywhere else. It's kind of all over your whole body. Just so you know that. So I'd have to go in the way and I have to do, I would, for me, because I advocate whole body stuff, I would do squats and deadlifts and things that use the whole body. And I would have to do that. And then I thought to myself, is it worth it for me? Is it worth it for me? I mean, what do I really want when I'm talking about a six pack anyway? I mean, what, other than just like, oh, that looks kind of cool. Now, like my wife and I have been married 19 years. Does my fitness level affect our marriage? 100%. Does her fitness level affect our marriage? 100%. And I haven't really gotten into this, so you know, I'm just going to touch on it. But the fact that she feels good in her body and the fact that I feel good in my body affects our sex life. There, I said it. Okay. We after 19 years, we're in better shape physically than we were when we got married. And it makes a big difference. Our sex life has gotten better over the years. So if my wife weren't into me, if she was like, yeah, I don't, you know, I just, if I just felt like she wasn't, you know, I'd be like, well, maybe if I got in better shape or whatever, but that's not occurring. So it's sort of like, what's my motivation for a six pack? I don't even know, you know, like, of course I want to be the example for people as much as I can, people, because I'm in this business of coaching people to health and happiness. And I want to live the example. I focus a lot of my work on myself. I think it's part of my job to be fit. That is true. But I also just totally enjoy being fit and the feeling of that. But I don't really know. I don't think, I mean, when I really got down to it, I thought I don't really want to do what it takes to have a ripped six pack. I want to take that on. Simply said, I don't want to take that on. There's nothing wrong with people with six packs. They might have the time and the desire to do that, and it's fun, and they might feel more, you know, attractive to themselves, and that's excellent. It's just not for me. And while it, on the surface, it sounded like, you know, I want a six pack. I think I'm going to go there. When I got in a little deeper, I realized it's not really something that I really, really want. So you have to get there. You have to get there in a place that, in a conversation that really gets down to it. That really gets down to it. Not, you know, yeah, I want to lose weight. Well, maybe you really don't. Maybe you really don't want to lose weight. Does that sound weird? I would ask that question. Because if you think, I really want to lose weight, I really want to be fitter, but then you start getting into what that would actually take, maybe you're okay. Maybe you're okay with the way you look and how you feel. At least put that on the table. Because at the end of the day, I was like, I'm kind of okay with this. Like if I wasn't, and I kind of know my thing, like if I put on a little bit of a belly, I don't feel good. That doesn't feel good to me. That doesn't feel good to me. But that's me. And that's why I don't have a system. Because for you, you could feel good just the way you look. And you just might want more energy or whatever. Whatever it is, but you got to, you know, it's that kind of honesty, that honesty level. And when you adopt the small step mentality, then you don't have to be stressed out by the decisions that you come to. Like, well, you know what? At the end of the day, I really do freaking want to change. Like, I really want to change in my life. I'm not happy the way that my life is going. And it's okay to come to that conclusion because you know that you don't have to then change everything about your life right now. I.e., that's a diet. You don't have to do that. Because you know that you can then, all you got to do is start to act. And it's the power in that, right? Now, my wife is only, I think, on episode 5. She barely listens to it, so I won't catch the problems that the discussion of our sex life will cause for like another 2 months. So you're okay. By episode 28, I may be shutting this puppy down. But for now, we've got eight episodes to kind of just flush this out. But But essentially, let's say for the sake of argument that my wife was not into me. Okay. Now, do I say she is? Now, either she's into me or she's like the best actress for the last 19 years. And honestly, either way, I'm totally okay with it. I'm really not. But let's say she wasn't. Let's say for the sake of argument that she wasn't okay. That she wasn't into me. Okay. And that our sex life, like we don't really, you know, we don't relate on that level anymore. That would be a bummer for me. Okay. I would go like something I don't like. Now, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't go to her and go, why aren't you, you know, I would start looking at myself and go, what is it about? Is there something, you know, of course the inclination is to go, well, it's her, you know, whatever. But then I really need to take that control, wink, wink, and say, what is it about me? Now, let's say I, you know, came to that conclusion. I wouldn't just look at my stomach. I wouldn't just go, oh, well, it must be my six pack. I would look at everything about me because I know that health isn't just about a flat stomach, just like it's not just about food, just like it's not just about movement. I would look at balance in all aspects of my life. I would want to look at the balance in all my life because attractiveness, I believe and argue for, comes from all of those things. And that's why if you ever meet somebody who you go, wow, they're really pretty and then or handsome, and then they open their mouths and you go, ah, not so much. Right? Because it's health and happiness is that big picture. It's that whole thing. And that's why you can also meet somebody that maybe first looks not that attractive, but then they become super attractive. Because ultimately it's I believe it's totally what's inside. It's what you do with what you got. You know, not everybody has like the perfect shaped body, but what's attractive for me, I'll just say what's for me is like somebody who's doing what they can do with what they got. Like it's great. The thing of like just, I'm just kind of naturally got the body is not as sexy to me as somebody who pays attention to themselves and works on themselves in all aspects. I find that very attractive, but that's just me. Could be, you know, you could be like, hey, body's a body. This may not be the podcast for you. You know, or it could be, I don't know. But my point is that I would look at all parts of my body, all parts of my body. I would look at all parts of my life and I would assess the balance therein. And I would say, well, you know, I noticed that I'm really stressed at work. And that's affecting how I come home. I'm an irritable ass when I get home. That's going to affect how my wife and I relate, right? So I'm going to work on that. I spend too much time emailing. I come home and I get on my phone. This is a hypothetical, by the way, except for the email thing, which I'm kidding. It's nutty. You know, it's nutty. My wife, bless her, but totally helps me with that. Put your damn phone down. Because I'm trying to find balance there. I think technology, just to touch back on technology, I think technology is amazing. It can be. I mean, with my clients, most of the time I like to Skype video chat with them. I think that's how amazing is that I can have a client in Seattle or New Jersey or Florida and be able to talk to them face to face? Now, is it better than in the same room? Of course not. Of course not. But it's what a huge step. What an awesome step. Just like the step from the couch to the trampoline. Great step. Is it natural to jump on a trampoline? No, we didn't have trampoline 100,000 years ago. Of course not. But it's natural to move our body. And if that gets you to move your body, great. And if video chat gets you to see somebody face to face, that's another experience that you don't have via email or even via phone. It's like another closer experience to the real thing. It's closer to the real thing. How great is that? So it's the thought behind the action that's interesting to me and that I believe gets you to where you need to go. Where you need to go is not up to me. Where you need to go is not up to me. And that's why, you know, with the six pack thing, it's like, I thought I wanted to do that. But then when I thought a little harder, I was like, I don't really want to, I'm fine. Like I'm in good shape. And that, the thing is that could change. I could do my marathon on May 4th and afterwards be like, I'm done with marathons. Like, I think it'd be fun to actually, you know, do the more strap thing and see where that developed my body in that way. Maybe it's just fun. It doesn't add stress for me. I don't know. I'm open to all that. But it's okay to not want to change too. And when you think, you know, I'm actually healthy and happy, then how power is that? What's the power? I mean, that's a great power. That's like, what a great place to be. So you're not always looking forward or I should be healthier and happier. Maybe you're where you want to be. Maybe you take prescription drugs and you don't eat that well, but the prescription drugs keep things, you know, settled enough for you and you love the food that you love and you're not willing to change it. Hey man, fine. Honestly, as long as you have that conversation with yourself and can get to and maybe not in one conversation, but you can get to the nitty-gritty. And that's, again, where journaling is great. You can write stuff and just throw it away after you're done, like just stuff that is hidden back there and you want to get it out. And you can be like, you know, I'm not happy in XYZ. I'm not happy. And that's the ticket. I mean, I don't know what else to, you know, it's like, I always say, I'm not going to sell you a false bill of goods. I'm not going to, you know, have a prescription of success. Sid's prescription of success. Follow this 21-day magic plan. But what I advocate for is a ton more fun, because, you know, part of what's fun for some people with diets is they do it with friends. Well, you can do the small step in with friends. You can do small step in with friends. You can go, hey, let's all get together once a week and figure out what steps we're going to try to add in, and then add in on top of that and on top of that. You don't change the steps. You incorporate steps and then you add on to those. And everybody in that group can have completely different steps, because it's not about that, right? But you can use the social structure, which is amazing when it's in balance. It's, again, how we evolve in that tribal setting. You can use that social structure to advance. And you can say, we all share this. We want to become happier and healthier. You might want to go farther than I go. I might want to go farther than that person goes, but we all want to make steps. So let's all get together and say what we can do and what we think we, you know, can take on every single day. And when you understand the premise of the small step model, nobody in that group can do a step too small. No, as long as there's a step. One person's step might be, I'm just going to listen to the Approaching the Natural podcast once a week. Done. The other person can go, well, I'm gonna drink a glass of water first thing in the morning. Great. Another person's like, well, I do those things, and I'm gonna run 20 minutes every day because I have time to do that. Okay, cool. And everybody, go. Let's meet back in a week. I mean, this is the real deal, and it's not Weight Watchers with the points and the da 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 da, but it's that thing of sharing in the experience and really getting things done. It's incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful. And that sounded so new agey. Oh man, kills me. I haven't had enough coffee today, apparently. I'll leave you with this. The irony of all of this, and I don't know if irony is the right word, but the irony of all of this, I'm going to go ahead and go with it, is that the more you think, the less you have to think. Did I just blow your mind? Did I? Okay, bring up the treadmill like 2 degrees on the hill, because I'm going to explain this again. The more you think, the less eventually you have to think. And I'll say it like this. The more you think right now about who you want to be, about what you want to do in your life, about how happy you want to be, about how healthy you want to be, the more you think about that, and then begin the small steps toward that end. You write it down and go, I want to be this way. With my clients, I have them write it in first person. I weigh this much. I am this healthy. I have this job. I have this relationship. I do these things every day in present tense. And it feels weird. And they go, ah, I don't know. But I just kind of go, just do that. Most of the time, I was like, if you don't want to show me, it has nothing. It's not no bearing on me. But once you got that down, then you're going to start taking small steps to that. That's where I jump in and go, okay, well, let's formulate and kind of work, you know, continue to work on what you can do. But as soon as you have that conversation, as soon as you think, then down the line, the closer you get to that thing, the less you have to think about it. Why? Because it's become who you are. And people often say to me, you must think about food all the time, right? Because they know I'm plant-based. So therefore, I must have to, because I don't do what they do. My life must suck. I mean, that's the underlying thing. Like, oh, you got to be really careful, don't you? Yeah. The health of this country is because of all the people who are plant-based. The crappy health of this entire country is because of the 0.2% of people that are plant-based. Yes. We all have to be careful. What's being careful? Paying attention. We all have to pay attention. I don't care if you're plant-based or vegan or vegetarian or omnivore or whatever. You have to be healthy. I've said it before and I'll say it 1,000 times before episode 28, which is you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to be healthy. To be healthy and happy, you don't have to pay attention, but to be healthy and happy in this world, you have to pay attention. Otherwise, you're going to be beholden to the diets and the quick fixes and the marketing and the examples of beauty that are in the media that aren't even real. They're quick fixes too. But the more you pay attention to the food you eat, to the movement that you do, you will get to a point where you no longer have to think about it anymore. That's why I don't think about food, because I got to the balance. There's no struggle. I would have to think about a diet, but I don't really think about food. I eat what I eat. There's no struggle. There's no stress around. There's no conflict. I'm not doing something every day that is not what I want to do. So I don't really have to think about it. I don't have to think about whether to move my body or not. It's become a thing that I do. It's become a thing that I just move my body. Now, I'm training for a marathon, so yeah, I'm thinking about that because it's a training plan, and I told you I'm grappling with not following it to a T, and I've been pretty good about that, by the way. Took off a whole weekend last weekend. I think I talked about that. Felt great. No conflict there, which is great. This last weekend, that was 2 weekends ago. This last weekend, did a 15-miler on Sunday. Felt great again. So I'm playing with that with me, but then again, that's all balance. But the closer you get to eating the food that is natural for your body, that most natural, the closer you get to natural, more natural food by degrees, the less you have to think about it, the less you have to worry about overeating, right? That's why, you know, people who are fruitarians don't, they eat a crap load of food. They eat a huge amount of food, especially like in bulk volume. You know, like I eat a salad, it's a huge salad. It's like a head and a half of lettuce, sometimes two heads of lettuce. I'm never hungry, but I don't measure it. I don't go, okay, well, I've got this many grams of lettuce and I've got, because it's close to what's appropriate in my body. There's no oil on it. So I'm not cheating, you know, that whole light box calorie bomb thing that we've created by creating oil, which is 100% fat. So the closer you get. Now, if you ate oil all the time and French fries and things like that, to be healthy, you really would have to pay attention. I mean, you would have to measure, and you'd have to not pay attention. You'd have to think about food a lot, right? Because if you're eating unhealthy food, you'd really have to think about it. And you have to think about incorporating maybe healthier food. And in that transition, you get to a point where as you get closer to natural food, you don't have to think about it anymore. When you start moving your body every day because you started in small steps and you get to the point where you're moving your body 7 days a week, guess what? You get to a point where you don't have to think about, should I move my body or not today? You just move your body. And then it's just like what you do. And it's who you are. And it's, yes, there's a transition period, but so with a diet. I mean, diets aren't any easier when you think about it. They're short-term and they seem more fun, but they're the same. It's the same amount of change. Is that one lasts and one doesn't. One lasts and one doesn't. And you have to decide for yourself how you want to do your life, how you want to live your life. And you have to think about that. You have to use your mind. Because you can't let a magazine tell you how you could look better or what it would look like for you to look better because this model looks this way who's been airbrushed and photoshopped. And you can't, to be happy and healthy, let somebody say, well, you just follow my diet. Follow my diet. How about this? You follow your diet. You follow your diet. What that means is you find something that works for you. And when you get there, you might decide you want to go further, or you might think about it and go, you know what? This is totally working for me. I'm okay right now. I'm okay right now because I'm thinking about it. And know that a year later, you might want to make that change, another change. Who knows? But at least you're not robbing yourself of the present by always looking ahead and going, I got to do the diet. I got to, you're just like, okay, I'm thinking about it. I'm kind of okay right now. I'm okay right now because I'm taking small steps and this is what I can do. And every day I think about it for just a second, few seconds, I go, I can take on more or not. And you live the day. You live the day. You don't go, I'm going to do this for 3 months and then, or I'm going to go to the gym for this and then. You go, I'm going to start this today and live my life today. And I'm going to act today. And I'm going to be present today. And I'm going to be strong today. By virtue of doing that, by virtue of taking action and living from a place of strength. Living from a place of strength. Strength is doing. Strength is thinking. So, power to the thinkers. Power to the thinkers. The thinking is what will get you there. The thinking is what is missing from diets and personal training plans and meditation plans. The thinking is what is missing there. If something is wrong in your life and you know it, sitting on a pillow and looking at a candle while relaxing isn't going to make that thing go away. Isn't it going to make that conflict in your life go away because you're pretending to be spiritual? It isn't going to make it go away. If you think about it and go, I want that to change, and start making steps to that, you can still do the meditation with a candle, and it's great for relaxation. It has all these amazing benefits. So does exercise. So does eating healthy, all these kinds of things. But if there's conflict in you and things that you in your life that you don't want to be, then you can make small steps to make changes in that regard. And that is a place of strength and a place of action, and it will get you there if you take it as at the speed that is appropriate for you. All right? I'll leave you there. Thank you very much for joining me on this 20th episode. Didn't know how I was going to start. Didn't know how it was going to turn out. I think it's kind of rolling okay. I'm liking the feedback. And again, throw me a review on iTunes if you think about it. And until next week, be well.
All the time. In this life, all the ups and downs. All the reasons to stop trying. And if the outcome weighs the heavier, and your attention fears.
Time.